Welcome back to another edition of the Unofficial Guide Disney Dish Podcast with Jim Hill. It's me, Lantesta. And you can tell by the waterfalls in the background and the darkness outside that it's about 11 o'clock here in the Animal Kingdom. And I'm with Jim, and we've just seen the new Tree Awakens show with also the Nighttime Safari and Amela Tiffin. So, Jim, we just saw Tree Awakens. It ended a few minutes ago. What do you think?
For the first couple of minutes of the show, it's kind of an eye test.
Yeah, the show's only like 3 minutes long.
But you're staring at the tree, you're waiting for it to begin, and you notice like a lizard will move its head.
Well, am I seeing this thing?
Have I spent
too long in the desert?
But then suddenly you have the series of fireflies that race through the tree, and then you get four, possibly five vignettes. In fact, I was talking with the entertainment folks the other morning, and they were mentioning there's at least one of these that sort of hints at the world of Pandora.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The one that we saw was a young deer who gets up, and essentially the awakening of the world around it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really well done. No Disney characters. Pretty much the kind of music you would expect in the Animal Kingdom with in terms of background, sort of a soaring, uplifting background music. What did you think of the animation?
For CG and the fact that it had to read against
an actual tree?
Yeah, a projection mapping. I thought they did a great job. Obviously, it ended very strong with the creatures stepping back into the tree and becoming shapes.
Yeah, so the deer went back into the tree. So it starts off where sort of like a spotlight projection on where the deer is on the tree. And the deer comes to life from the projection. And it ends the same way with the deer going back into the tree. But at the top of the tree, there are all of these sparkles up in the leaves. So blues and reds and whites and greens. And I thought it went really well.
You have to give credit to the folks who are in here at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can tell a lot of work went into that.
Oh, yeah. This park right now is kind of a work in progress. Tonight was the first official night of Jungle Book Into the Magic.
Right.
They had two performances of that. Coupled with, this was only the second night they'd done the Nighttime Safari. And in fact, the folks we were riding with had done it the night previous and were mentioning that there were whole areas that were being lit differently this time around as they were jiggering things.
Yeah, I mean, sure, they're getting feedback from guests, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's talk about the Nighttime Safari. We got there about 9:45. Mm-hmm. It was a posted 65-minute wait.
Yep.
We waited 60. What did you think about it?
I think it would probably be in my top three times going on Kilimanjaro Safari.
It was definitely different.
Yeah, they simplified the route, but at the same time, you were moving slower.
Yeah, we got a little bit more time in each scene. I thought that was that was really interesting. First of all, let me just say that the fact that we waited 60 minutes meant there was a part of the queue, the line, that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Because we don't wait in lines like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we started off at night, and let's say something about our driver. He's actually from Tanzania.
Yeah.
And that added a lot of flavor to it, I think.
It definitely did color the show. This was old home week for him in a weird sort of way.
Veterans Day.
Yeah, I've never seen rhinos get that close to the ride.
No, the rhinos were really active, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we saw them, and it was like that Bugs Bunny cartoon where it's like the fox and the chicken are leaving, and it's like quitting time. And these white rhinos are walking by the truck like, good night, Steve. Good night, Larry. It was hysterical.
Yeah.
We saw the giraffes, and they were moving around quite a bit.
Every time you go on this thing, they talk about the bongo, the ghost of the forest, which means you ain't seeing this animal.
I think I saw a hoof once.
Yeah, there's a haunch 30 yards behind the bush. And this time, some of it, I think, is actually that they put the browse that much closer.
Yeah, the food source, at night.
There's a bongo off to the left of the car.
Bongo's to the left of me. Bongo's to the right.
The right side, there were a family of three.
Mother,
even the little baby. And it was just sort of like,
I had never seen. So these are the ones with the stripes on them, right? The white stripes. I had never seen them before.
There was a portion of this evening that was kind of an eye test.
This is the Nighttime Safari Jumbotron screen. What did you think of it?
I think you were the one who was making the Celine Dion joke.
Let's set this up for our listeners. You've gone past the upside down tree.
Yep.
You're making the left to go into the big white savanna.
Mm.
You know, the big sort of left, big arch to the right in the savanna. And behind that, sort of like at the 10 o'clock position, they've built this. It can only be described as the Jumbotron from the Dallas Cowboys football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Massive thing.
Yep.
And they're projecting out this like orange, pink, purple light. Honest to God, it looks like it's the Las Vegas Strip behind trees. And I was joking with Jim. I reached up because Jim was a row ahead of me. And I said, I bet if we get on the other side of the trees, this says Celine Dion live at the Vegas Strip.
What our driver said is like, look, you probably shouldn't stare into that because that's lighting the savannah. In fact, you know, you're supposed to be looking in the opposite direction
It wasn't overpowering if you didn't look at it. If you looked at it, it was obviously and kind of harsh.
Yep.
If you didn't look at it, it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got past it and the light source was behind us, remember we saw that entire herd of Ankole cattle bedding down for the night? I've never seen that before.
Yeah. Same thing. We passed 20, 30 wildebeest. You get to see a different version of the savannah. By the way,
if you
look at the over the tree of life here, we have the leaves falling off of it now.
Oh, is that the awakening thing? Oh, yeah, they're doing the digital projection of the leaves falling off. That's nice. I like that there's always something going on it.
We are literally the second day that this park has been open.
And they've done a lot of stuff right here. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We sort of split up early in the evening, so you and Laurel got into with friends to Tiffin's, and I went up to Harambe Market. Did I do it again?
It's the haves and have nots.
Well, I wanted to see the musical group. They have the nighttime entertainment, and they had the sisters there performing. They're doing sort of a call response and the close harmonies. They've put about 15 different new elements out in this park.
There's a ton of stuff. They've renamed the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail. The Gorilla Trail?
Gorilla Falls.
Gorilla Falls,
That's an opening day name, by the way.
You know what the funny thing is? I think that's as much due to our phone app culture as it is anything else. Because on a phone app, if you're trying to figure out what Pangani Forest Exploration Trail is, you'd have to actually click on something. There's actually a round trip to the server to get the information, and it comes back. Whereas if you say Gorilla Falls, well, what do you think it's going to be in there?
The gorillas.
There you go.
I think that's actually one less trip to the server. And I think you'll see that trend going forward. We wouldn't be surprised if they redid the Maharaja Jungle Trek as the Tiger Jungle Trek.
That was the original name.
Yeah, so they might go back and do it, yeah.
Tiger Rapids.
Yeah.
Quick story, while I was sitting there enjoying my dinner listening to the group, two managers came out and they told this great story about Joe Rohde and how crazy attention to detail Joe is. They were talking about how they had set up the outdoor dining area around, you know, the rib place, the skewer place.
At Harambe Market.
Harambe Market.
Okay.
And Joe came through and said, it looks lovely, and then proceeded to go from table to table and deliberately make it so there were mismatched chairs at every table.
Because in Africa, there are mismatched chairs at every
table. Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't all going to look nice in Disney. He came through and personally moved all the chairs.
That's charming. That's fantastic. So then you came back to meet us at Tiffin's.
And Laurel
Stewart. Laurel, how's it going?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
So we got to the park around, I guess, 6:30. We wandered over to Tiffin's to see what the wait time was going to be. They said they couldn't tell us, but fortunately, we met some friends there, and we testa-bombed the reservation. So their intimate table for two eventually became a table for six at a four-top. Mm-hmm. So whatever, it's fine. So Laurel, let's start off with the drinks and the appetizers at Tiffin's. What did you think of those?
So the drinks were fantastic. I had it's not the Anandapur because that's the tea shop, but something like that, the Zing, which had the gin in it, that was really good.
Yeah.
Kyle had a beer that we had never heard of before.
It was their special brew, the one that, I had the Safari
you
one.
You had the Safari Amber, which you can get here at the lodge.
Oh, the Kungaloosh.
The Kungaloosh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, they're going to ride that train as long as they can.
Yeah, ride that money train, baby.
That was good. Appetizers I thought were great, right?
So I think the hit of all of the appetizers was the octopus, the grilled octopus, which was actually charred a little bit
on
the outside, and I thought it was fantastic.
Hey, we're doing another show again.
We're doing another show. All right, so you guys get to hear this in the background.
Twofer. Yeah.
So the octopus was good. We tried the bread service.
It was okay.
There was a really interesting dressing. It was pomegranate, molasses, olive oil, and I thought that was the most interesting of them. But it was a little bit skimpy, and somebody had actually said the bread servings themselves were a little bit skimpy. It's definitely not a Sanaa bread service.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely not.
The other thing that was there was mussels. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of those?
The mussels were very good. The beet salad, being a big beet fan.
Yeah.
We had the beet. It was good.
Yeah, we had the beets. What were the falafel-like things?
That was the lentil fritters.
The fritters. And what did you think of those?
Oh, those were fantastic. I think those were the best. They were light. They were crispy. The sauces were very complimentary to them.
I agree. I thought they were also
very
good.
If you like falafel, go for this.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
So this is even better than the falafel at Skipper Canteen, which was...
We think is the best falafel on property.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was good. Definitely.
What else do we have? So we didn't try the lobster soup because we heard that wasn't very good.
Yeah, we were told not to go with that one.
The thing that I remember most about the bread service was there was this really spicy sauce. It was so hot, it was almost unexpectedly hot for a Disney thing. What did you think about the entrees?
I only had the vegetarian one, which was the market vegetable curry.
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent. It was $29.
Yeah, $29 for vegetable curry is about $20 too much for a vegetable curry, but...
It is.
The presentation was good.
The presentation was good. It's definitely a signature restaurant. No question about that, both in price and in presentation and quality.
Yeah. So
I expect to pay about $30 for the vegetarian entree at any signature Disney restaurant. It totally met expectations there. Taste was really good, very complex, better than it could have been.
Yeah, for a curry, it was actually, I thought, larger chunks of vegetables than I would have expected in a curry. Like, if you're thinking Indian curry, where everything's sort of, like, blended together and relatively small.
No, this was a stew.
This was a stew, yeah. So more like that, I agree. We ordered, I think, every entree. Let's start with the whole fish. So the whole fish, Laurel had the best thing. It's presented on its stomach, so it's standing up. Laurel says it actually captures the moment that it actually fell into the fryer where it wasn't expecting it. The fish had this expression on its face like, ah, snap. But it comes out and it's served on a bed of black rice.
Batter fried,
yeah. And it was delicious. A nutty flavor. It just pulled off the bone. Tenderness. Perfectly cooked.
If you do not want to look your meal in the eye before you eat it, this is not the meal to eat.
That was it. It was like eating a pet almost, but delicious. And I totally would do it again. I thought that was very good. Jim, you and I had the pork with that was the one with the tamale.
Yep.
So it's pork two ways. Pork tenderloin with a pork tamale. What did you think of that?
It was surprisingly light and flavorful, you know.
I thought it was, yeah. And they did like a salt rub on the outside of the crust in addition to whatever flavoring it was. And I thought the salt added a little bit of crunch to it. It was really interesting.
And the lamb, actually. I mean, I'm not a big lamb fan.
The lamb was delicious.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Really.
They did a mint and lentil on that. And, you know, I think Disney does lamb really well, not only across property, but I think across company they do it fairly well. Lamb everywhere, I think, is pretty good. This was no exception. It was perfectly done. I mean, just a ruby red, purple color. Mm. Beautifully done. Really well done. Pork also very good. Did you try the Wagyu beef and short rib?
Yeah, not overcooked. Very flavorful.
No, I mean, you came in like 20 minutes into our entrees, and it hadn't gone over and been well done.
Again, I finished up seeing the Harambe Entertainment, and initially couldn't find land, so I was wandering around on the bar side, the Nomad Lounge.
Right.
And this is a wonderful space.
Yeah, so let's talk about the restaurant itself for a second. We'll get back to the rest of the entrees and the dessert.
Yep.
You walk in, and you're immediately greeted by the seating station.
Yep.
If you go to the left, it's the bar. Mm-hmm. The
Nomad Lounge.
And then I guess there's seating behind and around that?
If you go through the lounge, and then there's an outside area that overlooks the river. And as I went outside, there had to be 3 or 4 different couples that had just collapsed, that, you know, these wonderful outside lounges, and they pulled out their phones or their laptops, and they had just set up camp, and it just...
But they weren't customers, they weren't eating.
I think one or two of them had beverages, and they were being kind of forgiving of it.
Yeah, but when it gets crowded.
Once Pandora opens. Right now, it's kind of in this cul-de-sac.
It's the last thing before the walled-off entrance, right?
Yeah, but once that part of the park opens up, I guess that's, again, all we can advise is you folks, if you want to try this, do it now.
Let's go back and fish up the entrees. The last one I think we need to talk about, halibut. Did you have that?
Yeah.
The fish on a bed of, again, on a bed of black rice.
I know, again, very buttery, very sweet.
It was really well done. And I actually have no complaints about any of the entrees. I think some of them stood out. Mm. Others were just good.
Yep.
What did you guys think of desserts? One was a key lime tart with a matcha tea, green tea topping. That seemed to be the hit.
Very close to a knife fight at the table. You got two of them.
Yeah,
we got two,
and even then it was like sharks versus jets for those both of those. Yeah.
What, the tapioca?
There's a passion fruit tapioca.
And I do not like at all tapioca because of its texture. I love this. This was my favorite dessert.
In the middle of it, you're eating this, and here's a chunk of grapefruit.
So
and it works.
There were two different kinds of grapefruit. Did you notice that? There was a ruby red, and then there was
whatever
the standard. Yeah, so I got the ruby red, and I think Kyle got the other one. Mm-hmm. There was that. There was the sorbet, which was perfectly tasty sorbet, but oddly it came with
it had a meringue garnish. For an otherwise vegan dessert, that is a bad move.
Doing egg whites in a vegan dessert is a little strange. Yeah, so that's a...
Day two, they'll sort that out.
They'll figure that out by tomorrow.
Okay.
What else was there for desserts? There was a chocolate dessert.
There was the other passion fruit thing, which was
the passion fruit.
Was it a panna cotta?
Okay. And it was sweet, where the other one was tart. And then the fourth one was this chocolate.
Yeah, dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate with raspberries or strawberries.
I didn't try it. I'm not
and
a
salt.
Chocolate person.
Yeah.
The chocolate and the salt went well together. The chocolate, I don't like chocolate and raspberry together. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought it was absolutely fine. It was probably the least of the popular. And again, none of it was bad.
No.
It was just,
no.
I think the big thing was the lime tart. So we had two of those and they were gone.
And
it also came with an interesting peanut brittle.
Yeah.
Accompaniment.
And the tapioca.
The tapioca was the hit.
Yeah.
And then you had a coffee drink.
I think it was called Buffalo Coffee.
Buffalo Coffee. And this
which
is coffee?
Which was coffee with Crown Royal and other equally good stuff. Mm. I like whiskey. I like coffee.
Sure.
Yeah.
And by the way, so this is like 2 hours, 2.5 hours later. Laurel is still happy about this whole thing. So.
And wide awake.
And wide awake as well. It's like I'm exhausted.
Wow.
Jim and I are exhausted. Laurel's like, this is the best park ever.
Okay.
And she's a fan of the park anyway. So Jim, let me just ask you, let's sum this up. Animal Kingdom at Night. Your impressions, yes or no?
Understanding that we really are basically at the halfway point. I mean, remember, we've done Jungle Book again tonight, which sadly we didn't get to tonight.
Yeah.
Because, again, we wanted to do the nighttime safari.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
To be honest, it doesn't get dark enough to really...
No, it was like 9 o'clock and it was just got dark enough at 9 o'clock to do the nighttime safari.
So we'll have to circle back on that show. But
we will.
For a thing that's halfway there, because face it, we've got Rivers of Light that hopefully will come back in the late summer, early fall.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Pandora coming. For a park that is just now opening
late,
this works. This is...
Yeah, did you notice, by the way, how much the temperature's dropped since we... since
my friend Angela Ragno said that was her favorite park. She loves this park as well, but the fact to finally be in this park when it's not as humid as it is. I mean, face it, this park holds the heat and the humidity like no other Disney theme park.
Oh, yeah, like a sauna, yeah.
But to be here at night where it's beautifully lit and it's pleasant to walk around and to have a leisurely safari where the animals get up close.
Yeah, where the animals, everyone's hanging out at night, everything's casual. I think this is a hit. I know, we're 2 days into its nighttime schedule. There's a ton of work to be done. There's a ton of adjustments to be done. But you can already see that they've delivered on a lot
lighting,
of the potential.
The lighting, the music, the sound of the water, it works particularly
exotic,
well at night.
It's true. An exotic park becomes more exotic at night.
3 years in the making. And again, we've got, in a year and a half, we're going to see this full-blown the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And
no, I'd love to see more. I think they're on the right track. And that's something we haven't said very, very much about,
about
Disney recently. No, again, even the things that we think, the things that haven't worked out. Jungle Book is an interim show for Rivers of Light. But if they do as well with Rivers of Light as they've done with Tiffin's, if they've done with the Nighttime Safari, as they've done with the Awakening thing, parks will be great at night.
I agree.
All right, cool. All right, we'll have to come back and take a look at the other shows later on.
Back in a year and a half.
All right, folks, you've been listening to the quick version of the Unofficial Guide to Disney Dish podcast with Jim Hill. We are produced fabulously by Aaron the Animal Adams. Please go on to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play and rate our show and tell us what you would like to hear next. For Jim and Laurel, this is Len. They are kicking us out of the park now. It's time to go.
Get out!
We'll see you guys in the next show.
Okay.